Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lunchtime in the loop. James Ahedebo, Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL vet, former safety in the building. Texans making moves today. They add cornerback Breann "Body" Calhoun, formerly of the Cleveland Browns. You might know him most famously for breaking the leg of Odell Beckham Jr. My theory is Brian Gain got tired of all this attention the Cleveland Browns were getting, and he said, you know what? You like Odell Beckham Jr.? You think that makes y'all a better team than us? We're going to bring in the guy that can break his leg. So that's why Breann "Body" Calhoun is the newest member of your Texans secondary. Of course, we also know they added safety to Sean Gibson from the Jacksonville Jaguars, also Bradley Roby from the Denver Broncos. James, you played in the secondary in the NFL for nearly a decade. You talked about the guys that you would like to see the Texans get. How do you feel about the moves they've made and take into account the guys that they lost in the Honey Badger and Kareem Jackson?
Well, let's look at the guys they lost first, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about Kareem Jackson, who's been Houston Texan his entire career, just came off one of his best seasons yet as a Texan. And surprisingly, the Texans didn't even offer him a contract.
I was blown away by that.
I mean, so
Not even
lowball him. At least let him know that you valued him at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's surprising to me. And then so then of course, you know, Tyrann Mathieu is probably out of our price point in terms of the guaranteed money he got in, you know, 3-year deal. I mean, he makes all pro, or he balls out the first 2 years. He's going back to the table on that, you know, on that third. So
right.
Probably out of our price range. But then you look at the guys that we brought in. Tayshaun Gibson, I like him as a safety. Is he as versatile as the other two guys? No. Mm-hmm. I think he's more of your man-to-man box safety. He can play in the deep third, gets a lot of tip balls.
Pretty good on tight ends, I understand
Pretty good on tight ends, you know, tight end whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
But he isn't going to be that free safety roaming the middle of the field where as a quarterback, you're going to be like, you know what?
Yeah.
We got to account for him in the middle of the field.
Right.
We got to throw away from him every time.
Right.
And then Roby. He's a guy that he's scrappy. You know, the knock on him has been the inconsistency of his play in Denver, but that comes from anywhere from the scheme they were in, the coaching changes,
right.
The fact that they sucked. I mean, all those different things play in. But, I mean, these are guys, when you talk about Gibson and Roby, do they add up to the impact that, you know, Jackson and Mathieu had on the Texans? It doesn't add up. No.
I'm with you on that. Landry thinks they could be slightly better based on first of all, I do agree with this part. Covering the tight end was Tyrann Mathieu's weak spot. That was his blind spot, I think.
Yeah.
So now you got a guy that can do that at least. So maybe you could argue that. But I think, do you know anything else about what's his name? Body?
Breann "Body" Calhoun.
I have no idea. I don't even know who the guy is.
He's the Kevin Johnson of the Browns.
Okay, so he's the Kevin Johnson of the Browns.
But he broke Odell's leg.
I got two words for you. T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
That's who the Texans need to be worrying about addressing. How can we stop this guy from killing us every single time he plays us? And it hasn't been. It's like they have amnesia. Like, oh, we can just throw someone else out there and we'll get a different result because our scheme is that good. It isn't. And so you have to bring in talent to address that.
And speaking of that, you're talking about T.Y. Hilton. You're talking about a guy that is the number one Texans killer. I think part of that would be when he's lined up in the slot, you hope that Aaron Colvin, who was very good in the slot 2 years ago with Jacksonville, you move him back to the slot. Bradley Roby, this is interesting because I think T.Y. Hilton's kind of similar in stature to Tyreek Hill. Last year when he matched up against Tyreek Hill, their first matchup, he lined up against him majority of the time, and he held him to 4 catches for 23 yards on 8 targets. So when Bradley Roby is good, and it's a big win because it's very inconsistent, but when he's good, he matches up with guys like T.Y. Hilton.
And he does, but that's, you know, I would say you as a coach have to put your guys in position to be successful.
This is a Romeo thing.
It's a Romeo thing. It can't just be, hey, Roby, this is the system we have here. This is our philosophy. You either fit in or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be the case. You have to find out what his talents are that are good. if it is, man, I just need my cat. Give me cat coverage. You know, I'll just stand over the ball.
Right.
I got my guy wherever he goes. And that's the case for Roby to be a strength in the Texans' defense, then so be it. Let him be that. He's also
given up huge games.
Yeah.
So the inconsistency is part of it. Now, he is fast. The problem is, you know, he can keep up with T.Y. Hilton in a foot race, but are you getting a guy that can shut down T.Y. Hilton?
Can shut down. And that, my thing is, when I look at a corner, I want to see how many pass deflections does he have and how many interceptions does he have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roby, over the course of his career, I believe he has 7 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't tell me that he's a ball hawk. That, you know, that tells me that he might be in position and he might give up a lot of plays. You know, there's for him to be our answer, and I hope, and I'm saying this, that I hope it isn't the total answer. I hope he's just a piece of the answer.
Right.
But the lack of movement in free agency by the Texans is showing me that maybe they think more highly than they ought to of this guy. So.
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, joined by 10-year NFL vet James Ahedibo, also a Super Bowl champ, former safety. I want to go back to this Romeo Crennel thing.
Yeah.
Because you started out the show talking about how the Texans – are kind of looking at things from a 2 or 3 year window, and that, you know, they're not going all in right now. They're not trying to just get over the hump. They're not acting like a team that thinks that because they went 11-5, the best is yet to come. They're thinking more of a 2 or 3 year window. If that's the case, what's the point of still having Romeo Crennel here, especially if he has those issues? Because I think it's safe to say that he's only going to be coaching in the NFL for 1 or 2 more years. So if you're looking at in a 2 or 3 year window, why not try to groom somebody to be your next defensive coordinator, maybe like an Anthony Weaver or something like that?
See, well, that tends to be the downfall of a lot of, you know, I would say Patriot plant coaches, you know, coaches that have been under the tree of the Patriots. They tend to bring in those guys and they're ride or die with the same guys that they worked around that know the same philosophy and system as them. My issue with Romeo Crennel is not that he isn't a great coach, is that the NFL is evolving at a speed that he's not keeping up with.
Right.
You know, there's things that you ran that were successful back in the early 90s with the Patriots that you can't run now. Due to the rule changes, due to the speed of the game, due to the how coaches like Andy Reid have changed their style. You look at Andy Reid from when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles to when now he is with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's adapted to the new NFL. As an older coach, you struggle to make that change because why should I change what I've been doing for 15 years in this league, which has allowed me to be in the league for 15 years?
You think the game's passed him by a little bit?
I think it has. Yeah. I think there's a lot. Teams are exploiting mismatches at a higher rate.
Very interesting.
And the adjustments aren't being made on the sidelines, which isn't a player issue. That's I'm being out-coached issue.
And that's a problem, man, because we automatically assume that Bill O'Brien on offense, that's the problem. That it's a little bit stale. But you saying that the game has possibly passed Romeo Crennel by, that's something that makes you raise the eyebrows a little bit and say, damn, you know, maybe the Texans have an issue coaching-wise on the other side of the rock, too.
Yeah, and, well, what tends to happen is you see coaches that tend to be ahead of it, and they say, okay, well, let's start grooming guys.
Right.
Who do we have as a linebacker coach that's a little bit more younger? Mm-hmm. You know, I use the example of the Baltimore Ravens. They had Dean Pease, who's a former Patriots guy. Wasn't really, you know, getting the job done, and, you know, the game was starting to pass him by. What'd they do? They raised up Winkie, their linebackers coach, and put him as a defensive coordinator. What happens? Next year, they have the number one defense in the NFL. So you have to be able to make changes, and that's part of the evaluation process. Just as you're evaluating the players on the field, you have to evaluate the coaches in terms of, are they keeping up with the game to be successful?
Let's get specific on what maybe he hasn't adjusted to, because I have a couple of thoughts myself, but you played in the darn league, man. I mean, I'll bounce my ideas off of you and you tell me yours of, like, if Romeo Crennel is not doing this to keep up with offenses in 2018 and 2019, to me, one of the things is, obviously, they always talk about the secondary, but they've become just off the ball cover cornerbacks. They stay off the ball so much, which gives you so much more leverage as a receiver, and they think that they're going to keep people in front of them probably far too much when they should maybe press more. That's one thing. And I think also rushing the quarterback, they get creative with that. He's good rushing the quarterback. Okay. But they consistently, you know, lose to great quarterbacks. What are quarterbacks doing the great ones that to confuse him. But first question on the secondary.
So first with the secondary, that's a matter of situational awareness and knowing where you are on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're playing man-to-man coverage, the philosophy would be is I have my guy no matter where he is on the field.
Right.
And historically what happens with the Texans is when they bring pressure, teams go up top on them. So everyone says, I don't want to be that guy on tape or on the bloopers getting beat deep. So I'm going to play with a little bit more coverage and let you catch anything underneath and I'll tackle you. The problem with that is there's no competitiveness. Mm-hmm. You're not competing with routes that you should be competing with.
Cat coverage, as you say.
Yeah, with man-to-man coverage. You should be contesting every route knowing that you're mm-hmm. playing to your leverage, which might be inside or outside depending on the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is, when you talk about, you know, I brought up the Indianapolis Colts. Their defensive coordinator, Matt Inebro, I forgot his name, but I'll look it up in a
second.
Yeah. What he looked at was, okay, what do – when I'm playing the Houston Texans, what do they do good, right? They do quick passes. They do deep throws. So let's give them some stuff that confuses them pre-snap, and they have to read post-snap.
Mm-hmm.
Well – When the Colts played the Texans and they made it look like man to man, and then at the snap of the ball it was post snap read for Deshaun Watson, and it turned into cover two. Mm-hmm. Well, they get an easy interception. Well, that's adapting to the game. That's adapting to what you do.
Right.
When the Texans play, it's man to man coverage. So you know what the teams are going to do? They're going to get into tight formations. They're going to do pick routes, mm-hmm. and they're going to find a way to get a guy wide open, scot free. And time and time again, you see it. Ebron running a 7 route wide open. I mean, it's not adapting to the game and changing your coverages mm-hmm. and disguising them in a manner for your guys to be
productive. And this is a Romeo thing.
And right. It's a Romeo thing. That has nothing to do with talent. It's just X's and O's.
Matt Eberflus.
There, at Matt Eberflus.
Is their defensive coordinator. And that kind of lends to, you know, how we started this with the Honey Badger, with Tyrann Mathieu, talking about, I want to be able to get back to doing what I do. He probably feels the exact same way you do, that he didn't get that he had too much of a box to play in.
Of course, and I believe not only Tyrann Mathieu, but I believe there's other guys in that locker room still that believe that way. And that affects you as a player when you're on the field and you know, hey, you know, this is going to be a long one, guys. Mm-hmm. He's calling a lot of man-to-man coverage today. You're sitting on that bench and you're talking to each other like, "Hey, bring your A game, guys. It's going to be a long day." You know, and we often say, "Hey, bring your track shoes, you know. Yeah. It's going to be a track meet today."
Yeah.
Because that you know that you're not going to get a break in terms of coverages.
Mm-hmm.
What Tyrann Mathieu came out of in the Todd Bowles defense was a lot of disguise, a lot of pre-snap, we'll show you one thing,
right.
And then we're dropping out and we're playing something different, which allows guys to mix up coverages and exploit quarterbacks' weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You take away what a quarterback does well. If it's easy, what you see is what you get. Any quarterback's going to eat you up, and it's going to be a long day for you.
The moral of the story, there might be a Romeo Crennel problem. James Ahedebo, 10-year NFL vet, along with John Lopez. I'm Landry Locker. Another moral of the story, by the way, a box, just because you have a box to play in, not always a good thing. Usually it is, but not always a good thing. Coming up next, we started the day talking about the Texans taking a player from the Browns. Well, the Browns have returned the favor. One of the most hated Texans of the last 5 years has a new home. We'll tell you who and where next.
You are a hater.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.